Chapter number 6 in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6. Thank you, concert choir. Thank you, orchestra. Fantastic job. It'll take a moment for them to get where they need to go, and it's a good time for us to stand and stretch. And just got a short message today, but I think it's going to be very important for you to consider something we need to see, something we need to understand, and then something we need to respond to. So Isaiah chapter number 6, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Would you follow along with verse number 1 with me? And the Bible says, "In the year that Uzziah died, I saw also." By the way, if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, "also" would be a good thing to underline. "I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And verse 2, would you read it with me? "Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings, and with twain he covered his feet. And one cried unto another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Everyone in verse 4. "And the..." "Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.'" And verse number 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" Together, verse number 8. "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And said, 'I, Father, in the few moments we have together, make this, I pray, this passage helpful to each listener. I pray that I would honor the time, but at the same time, you would honor the message. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Thank you very much. Appreciate your presence, your participation, your spirit that you bring to chapel. Isaiah chapter 6, this is the call that God gave to Isaiah. The Bible says, "In the year that Uzziah died..." Now, Uzziah can be found in the histories of 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. And Uzziah was a great king, and he really was masterfully blessed by the Lord. He would serve for 52 years as the king. He really had a great beginning. He really had a sad ending. He died as a leper, in a leper house, not able, after he forgot a couple things. He forgot his beginnings. Young people, don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget where God brought your mom and your dad from. Occasionally, I find a fool who God has saved his mom and dad out of a life of misery, or grandparents. They've been giving now a good life, blessing, Christian education, a great home. And then, by some just foolish activity, they go back into the lifestyle their parents came out of, that God delivered them. Boy, don't be an idiot. But Uzziah forgot his beginnings. He forgot all that God had done in his early life. He forgot his blessings. He forgot all the blessings that God had given him. And God had really supernaturally helped him to have victories and to machineries and wealth and all kinds of things. And then he forgot his boundaries. What really took him down is he thought he could do the job of a high priest. And he entered into the house of God to burn incense, something that he was off his rug. He couldn't do. He was the king, not a priest. And he went in and he knew the rule, but he broke the rule. And standing up there, they 85 priests ran him out. And he turned into a leper right in front of everybody in the middle of the church. Sad thing, Jotham, his son, his dad got hurt in church, so he never went back to church. He never walked into the house of God. But he was a good king, and God blessed him greatly, 52 years. But the Bible says, in the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah also saw the Lord. And there's one thing I want to encourage you to see today, and I want you to see, because there's going to be a question at the end. And the end of the question is, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who is going to serve? Who's going to serve me? That was the question asked by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Whom shall we send? It's plural. Who will go for us? Who will represent us? We have two identities, two parts of the Godhead are in heaven, God the Father and God the Son. Jesus came to the earth once. He's not coming back until he comes back to get us and take us to heaven. He's not coming back to tell your co-workers about Christ. He's not coming back to spend any time serving the Lord here. That's going to be your job. You and I are his ambassadors. He's chosen to use our hands to do his work today. He's chosen to use our life to lead men to his way. He's chosen to use your lips and your life to do it, to show people the gospel. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he is in working in communication with the Heavenly Father, who he knows the mind of the Father. And he's trying to introduce people to Christ, his Son. He uses you and I to do that. But we'll never be what God will never say yes to the invitation to work with God and go for God until we know who he is. And, you know, it was a good 52 years, but it was a bad time in the nation of Israel because their king had died. In the same year that your king dies, he said, in a bad time, I also saw the Lord. And then notice what the next word is. He saw the Lord doing what? Sitting. He saw him sitting. You know, if someone were to come into my house and I am sitting down, I will immediately stand up. If I have an intruder coming, I'm gonna get to my feet. I'm not gonna sit there and say, what are you here for? I'm gonna stand up and we're gonna confront him. And I will be nervous if I did that. But you know, God is not nervous. God is calm. And he said in heaven, he goes, I also saw the Lord. And when I saw him sitting. He was calm. And you know, by the way, God is not nervous about the election. He's not nervous about providing for me or for you. Whatever you're nervous about, God's not nervous about that. He said, take your care and make it prayer. Be care-filled about nothing, but everything by prayer. Why? Because he can handle it. He says, cast all your worries upon him. What are you worried about today? Are you worried about your future, your school bill? You worried about your health? You worried about your mom, your dad? Whatever it is you would worry about, stop worrying about it. And start praying about it. With gratitude, because you have a God who's not nervous. He's not shaking. He doesn't even have a headache. He is not nervous about anything. And that's the kind of God we have. He's not concerned. He was sitting in heaven. Next thing we know about God is he was high and lifted up. He is high and lifted up, and he's highly exalted. And the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And today he's cursed around the world, and no doubt in this room, you and I have gotten in moments of frustration and said, oh my, in his name, or damned his name in moments. But he may be cursed in the world, but he's high and lifted up in his position. He makes the rules. He's the sovereign God. Our God is in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he pleased. So first of all, he's very comfortable. He's not nervous. He's got everything in control. That's why the Bible says, let your moderation be known to all men. You can be calm in the midst of problems because the Lord is at, he's in control. He is high and lifted up. And then the Bible says about our God that his train fills the temple. Now, a king normally does not wear his robe or his train. Normally, he would just probably function just like you would see Prince Philip or some of the different guys. They don't wear a long train. But in times of royalty, they would. They would come and attach this train to them. But if they conquered other countries, if folks approached them and they conquered them or fought against them, they would take the robe off of their king and they would attach it to theirs. And they would, if a younger king might have two or three there. An older king would have a few more nations and kings that he conquered, he would take his robe and sew it onto his robe. But the Bible says the God of heaven and earth, his train is so long that it fills the whole temple. That's why he can be called the King of and the Lord of, because he has no rival. Devil, he's not nervous about the devil. He's not nervous about the future. He's not nervous about politics, economy, because he's bigger than all that. And oh, would to God that we would trust him. God is seeking such that would worship him in spirit and truth, people that would worship him and trust him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isaiah is telling about his call. He said, man, he goes, it was a bad year. Man, our king died. But then I also saw the Lord, and he was sitting. He was high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And then he goes on to tell about his holiness. He said there were like seraphims, and some covered their heads, some covered their feet, and they proclaimed, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they talked about his holiness and how holy he is. By the way, the Bible tells us as children of God, be ye holy. For what reason? Because he's holy. Boy, good night, gentlemen, ladies. We got a God, and the reason we live such low lives is because we have a low opinion of him. You elevate your opinion of God, you'll elevate your lifestyle. You're not going to get your head watching things and listening things and wearing things that are not pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Some of us, we wouldn't know holiness if it smacked us upside the face. It's so foreign to us. We want to dress like the world. We want to wear what the world wears. We don't even know why we're doing that. Some of you are entertaining tattoos. You're thinking about one day, well, you know, give me a tattoo. Even though God tells you, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to mark your body. Who cares if you don't think of a high opinion of God? And by the way, the Bible says your body belongs to who? God. You don't care who belongs to your body, then you can do whatever you want to with. Some of you, you wear bracelets. You don't even know why you're wearing bracelets. You know why you wear them? Because you saw an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning pastor do it. Is that why? No. You saw someone else do that. You saw Justin Bieber do it. Boy, and that guy's a great fundamentalist right there. No, you're watching everybody else and you're seeing the guys at work. You're seeing different people doing it. You're seeing people in magazines. They're not people that are soul winners, no. They're not people that are living holy lives, but you want to be like them. And it's natural inside of me. It's natural inside of you. We get tired of standing out. We want to blend in. But we're not trying to please the world. We got nothing to prove. We got one person to please. And he's a holy, calm, high and lifted up Lord of lords and King of kings. And he's your only motivation for service. I sat with a man recently. He complained and talked about how he burned several years because someone that served God, that he loved, that was a big thing to him, and he worked with him in the ministry, blew it. And so he used that as an excuse. Are you kidding me? Men are men at best. When in the world, no man died on the cross for me but Jesus. He's our purpose. He's our focus. You don't serve God for Pastor Wilkerson. You don't live a holy life for me or anyone else. You live it for him. And if you're looking at somebody else to motivate you to serve God, to live pure, to live high and holy, you're looking way too low. That's who he is. We need to see who God is. Number two, when we see who God is, we will see ourselves. Now, there's several people in the Bible that saw God. You can see Daniel. Saw him in chapter 10, verse number 8 of Daniel. And when he saw him, he said he lost all of his strength. He became weak. Every once in a while you meet someone and say, I see God, I want to ask him. You're not either.
I'm going to tell him a thing. I'm going to meet the man upstairs.
You know. You're going to do what everybody else does when they meet him. They fall on their face. Chapter 1, verse 17 of Revelation, John saw him. He said, I fell on my face as a dead man. Paul, with papers in hand, going against Christians. He was no match for what he met on the road to Damascus. He was blind and broken and went about having someone lead him by the hand. Because he met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He fell down on his face and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? When he found out who he is, that's what all of us ought to do. But what Isaiah saw here, he said, when I saw the real God and who he was, I saw the real me and who I am. And he said, man, I'm broken. I'm undone. I'm wicked. I got bad thoughts. I got bad actions. I got bad mouth. And he saw, he goes, I live with people that are just like that. By the way, the closer you get to God, the more you'll feel inadequate for yourself. You'll see yourself wicked. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me? You need someone bigger than you deliver you. You need the Lord. When he saw God for who he was, he saw himself for who he was. And he said, man, I am undone. I'm broken. I'm messed up. And then God sent a seraphim to put a coal on his mouth. And he said, you know what? I'll take it and I'll cleanse you. It's a metaphor, it's an analogy. He said, I'm going to cleanse you. And then he heard the voice of God saying, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And instantly Isaiah said, pick me, pick me. Here am I, send me. Do you know why you're in this room and you're not in a mosque somewhere? You know why you're in this room and you're not at the university of wherever? Do you know why? Because their need is great. Not for another engineer. And if God wants you to be an engineer, you be the best engineer and you serve God in your local church. And we have some great ones in our church. And if God lets you do anything, it's His will for you to be in the secular field and be faithful, you decide, you know, I'm never going to miss a day of church. I'm going to be faithful to give. But if God has sent someone in your life, tapped you on the proverbial shoulder and said, I need you, I want you, I want you and I to work together for the kingdom cause, for ministry. I would to God that every one of us would say, God, take me. Here am I. Send me. A response that you need to have to a holy God. When you see who He is, when you know who you are, then we ought to say to God, Lord, here am I. Send me. You know, you can say that when you know that God's going to take care of you. Unfortunately, many people think, oh, if they serve God, you're not going to have money. You've got to do this and do this so you'll have enough money to do what you need to do. Listen, friend, I'm not so sure. But that's real true faith. I think you better be careful what you're thinking. You better consult everything with the Heavenly Father. And make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Here am I, send me. You ought to decide, why did God give me so much light? Why did God put me where He put me? Why did He lead me where He led me? Have faith in God, how He made you, how He's led you, how He's prepared you. And then take that faith and serve Him like Isaiah did. Here am I, Lord, send me. I wonder for someone today. You might be a senior at Hiles Anderson College. You might be a graduate student. You might be a freshman. You may be one of our delegates. That you need to say in your life, here am I, send me. I heard a man preach recently, and in his freshman year here at Hiles Anderson College, he came here just to get one and done, just to get a general Bible certificate. But while he was here, he met face to face with the Holy God. He realized who he was and said, okay, God, I think you have a different path for me. And now he's been pastoring people for several years. Got a beautiful family, 5 children, a beautiful wife, and a testimony for Christ. And hundreds of people that their lives are different now because of where God took him and what he did with him. You know why? Because it was a day and time. He said, here am I. Send me. And everybody who is used of God has to have a moment in time when you say, okay, I'll let you decide. I hope you've done that. If you haven't done, I hope you'll think about it today. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Thank you for listening. I'd like us to stand just for a moment. I don't know what this means to you. Some of you might have a low opinion of God. Some of you might have a high opinion of yourself. Some of you need to have a moment where you just say, God, I'm yours. If you want to use me, you can. Tell him that. You got something on your phone you shouldn't have. You got something in your life you shouldn't have. You got a love that you're chasing that is not divine. Why don't you ask the Lord for help? Why don't you just tell him, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Whatever you want is what I want to do. You can slug it out by yourself. It's pretty miserable. Trying to live the Christian life without the Christ that died for us and with a bad opinion of Him. Believe who He said He was. If you need a purging in your own heart, why don't you say, God, I want you to purge me from sin. Help me. Make me what I ought to be. Anytime you ask God for help, He helps you. He'll help you. Thank you for responding. Whether you're on your knees or you're at your seat, let's all of us talk to God. Maybe you could just spend a few moments and say, God, I want to praise you that you're not nervous, that you're high and lifted up, that you have no rivals, that you're a holy God. I'm so glad that's who you are. Believe that about me. Maybe some of you say, Pastor, I'm filthy. If we talk and you knew what God knows about me, you know that I'm not in a good way right now. I'm in a dark place. My activities, my thought, my actions, my language, it stinks. God has an answer for that. It's called forgiveness. But it comes with your confession and your repentance. Forsaking those things. Do it right now. And after chapel, do what you need to do. Have you had a day of surrender? Have you had a day when you said, Lord, here am I. Send me. It may need to be renewed. Maybe you say, Pastor, I did do that. I did that at camp when I was 15. Maybe you're 21. You need to do it again. Our Father, thank you for the privilege sharing these moments with this wonderful group of young people. Bless them. Thank you for Isaiah's testimony. And I also saw the Lord sitting high and lifted up. I pray that, God, you would forever receive our gratitude for the yieldedness that's in this room. And I pray that, God, we would be used of you to affect lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Remain standing. Thank you for the way.